Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong.
And if there was ever a time when we need to be in prayer about ending this horrible, horrible night of wrong, well, folks, I have a lot to say to you tonight about that, as always. And I really don't know what most of you want to hear over this program, Call to Action. But that's exactly what the reason I named it that. Call to Action. It was once a live program, and you could call in, but we have been unable to restore that feature because of my health. But I hope and pray that you will listen and that you'll participate. We're trying to give you something that is very, very serious, something that will affect you. Well, let me say right at the beginning, you may well want a copy of this program tonight. And if so, it is number 1167. That's 1167. And it will be marked special. The reason I'm saying that it'll be marked special is because we have been in court with a friend, a brother in Christ, for the past 4 days. And, 4 days, that's right. 4 full days. That's a long time to sit in a courtroom and listen to something that literally tears your heart right out of your body. We saw something that is evident of what's coming on the scene today. And I'm going to give you some of the reasons that condition is coming on the scene today. One of these days, the same thing is going to happen to you and to me that happened to a very, very close friend today. Now for several weeks, he has been in prison, in the jail. This gentleman, his name is Hollis Wayne Fincher. Now, please write this address down, because I'm going to ask you to write to Wayne. Well, we call him Wayne. He's a great big mountain man. Weighs about 370 pounds. He's about 6'7", 6'7", something like that. And very active in helping folks. He tried several years ago to begin what he called a Christian militia here in our county, in Washington County, Arkansas, and to help people. He sent a notification to the governor's office, to the sheriff's office, had the sheriff and his deputies out to their mission headquarters out there on Black Oak Road here in this area, and has tried everything in his power to get them to say, here we are, a needed civilian group of people organized to help you if you get in more trouble than you can handle. And how often have we observed in recent years the times when facets of our government, the sheriff's office, the police department, the National Guard, others, just literally got in deeper into something than they could handle. You've got to be a pretty good swimmer to get out of some circumstances. At this moment, I think every one of us in this nation who has just a little bit of sense in our head realize that we are facing possible utter destruction in a place called Iran and Iraq. I hope you realize just exactly what's happening there and how soon we are probably going to be more deeply involved in what's happening. And I doubt very seriously if our elected officials, including our president, whom I have supported all these years, will ever realize that there is no solution to the condition that is faced in Iraq today, among the Muslim nations today, because they are a controlled religion, controlled by demonic forces and false claims. And as a result, what's happening? Our churches are folding up. Our people are saying, well, you've got to be nice to these folks. And on and on and on, we are getting more deeply involved in taking care of the enemy of our nation and the enemy of our soul. Well, something that happened just today, as we, a group of us, sat sadly in that courtroom after four long days and heard a jury come in and pronounce this brother guilty. Guilty of two different offenses. In the process of establishing a functioning militia, a helpful militia, Wayne felt like they needed to have some type of arms. So as a result, they had a lot of lectures and a lot of practice in using weapons. They had acquired two or three old military machine gun, at least the parts, and assembled them and put them into their arsenal. And I think one other shotgun of some kind that they were able to carry in a backpack. But these were under tight control of this militia. Well, we have come to look upon militias with distraught to some degree, because a lot of them have sprung up around the country for evil purposes, but not this one. This gentleman went to our church, and many times I've heard him give testimony of his faith in Jesus Christ. And I have gone to him many times and said, Wayne, I do not believe that your dreams will work out, because we have already lost our country. It is gone. When you have people like Ted Kennedy, a murderer, adulterer, the trash that is in our Congress, when you have people like Barney Franks, a homosexual, and others that lean toward that sort of situation, when you have people such as like our new Speaker of the House, Peloso, I believe is her name, and those people who favor the murder of little babies just before they're born even, and on and on and on, you could name all of these things. But folks, Wayne may well be sentenced to up to 20 years in prison, because he was claimed to be owner of these about three, what they called, illegal weapons. You see what happened. The jury, he asked for a jury trial. Well, they had a jury all right, 12 people and two alternates. But the thing that happened was the jury was not allowed to hear the defendant's testimony. The judge sent them out of the room. Let me say that again, folks. Listen out there, please. The judge sent the jury out of the room prior to the presentation of the key evidence and prior to the presentation by the defendant himself. He never was able to speak a word to the jury. Now, this is a Christian broadcast. I am a Christian broadcaster. But I'm telling you one thing. I don't know why old Peter was carrying a sword on his side. I don't know if he had a permit to carry that thing or not. But these people are saying, regardless of what the Second Amendment says, which, as you well know, most of you do, we have the right to possess arms. to have them in our possession for protection. Well, you know, there are a host of the anti-gun people, like Sarah Brady and some of the others, that are doing their best to disarm the nation, as we have floods of illegal aliens. I have right on my desk here several pages of hundreds of our citizens that have been murdered by illegal Mexican aliens who have come across the border, swam the river, sneaked in here some way illegally, and they come robbing, raping, killing, and then right here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, just 2 days ago, there were two boys, I think 16 years old. They were involved a few years ago, for those of you who remember the school killings. They had stolen guns out of one of their grandfather's gun cabinets and gone to the school, killed a teacher and I think a couple of students. Well, somehow they are out walking the street today, and they were caught driving erratically here on the streets of Fayetteville, and they were found to have marijuana in the car, and I don't know what all else. It seems as though they may have had a 9mm pistol. I'm not sure if that's the one or not, but guess what? They turned them loose. Well, I believe we have a jail full of people down here who are guilty of having marijuana in their possession. But here a man who loves the Lord, who was doing his best to help in cases like Katrina, in cases like the other tornadoes. And by the way, this particular group of Christian militia folks offered to go to Oklahoma City at the bombing of the federal building there and help in a time that they really needed a help. There was a nurse, a wonderful, godly nurse from Fort Smith, Arkansas, just south of us here, who went there and was helping, left somebody to take care of her family, and went there and was helping, and she was killed. There was, in the process of the removal of the debris, I think a big piece of concrete fell on her and killed her. Well, our militia folks here offered to go and help out, but they were denied. Well, a lot of strange things going on in this old world, folks. But I want you, if you will, please listen to me. If you will, do two things for yourself. I'll say for me, yes, but for yourself and for your nation, this United States of America that God has given us to take care of. And here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to write a letter, if it's just a longhand letter, to Hollis Wayne Fincher. That's F-I-N-C-H-E-R. And I'm going to read you a letter to you here in just a moment from his cellmate. That'll be Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S, Wayne Fincher. And his address is in care of Sebastian County Jail. That's S-E-B-A-S-T-I-A-N, County Jail. And the address is 801 South A Street. A is an apple. 801 South A Street, Fort Smith, Arkansas, 72901. Now I want you to write another letter. And I hope that you will flood the mailbox at the federal building here in Fayetteville with your letters to Judge Jim Hendren. That's J-I-M-M with two M's. And the last name is Hendren, H-E-N-D-R-O-N. He was the federal judge. I have known the man for a number of years, thought him to be a Christian man, and I do not know all of these laws. I just know we have Second Amendment rights to have weapons to defend ourselves, regardless of what comes along and little branches of the government sprout up with something else and say, oh, no, you can't. Oh, no, you can't. But in any event, whatever the case, when a judge says, no, jury, you cannot hear the defendant. You cannot hear anything about the congressional law, the law of the land, constitutional law. You can't hear about that. Well, what do you do? What do you do? Well, it reminds me of the black fellow back in the old days when and maybe a lot of it's still going on today down in one of the southern states, and they caught him. Accused him of doing something, took him out and buried him, and they turned a tiger loose, and here he was just with his head sticking out of the dirt, and this old tiger came tearing across there after him, and suddenly realized he had misfigured his speed, and he tried to stop. But instead he slid right up to this black fellow. And this black fellow opened his mouth and clamped down on the tiger's nose. And the old tiger started squalling and yelling. And they walked up and kicked the black fellow and said, fight fair, you coward, fight fair. Well, that's kind of what happened to our brother Wayne. They shut him down from defending himself. Oh, yes, with the jury out of the room, he was allowed to be questioned on the stand, and he literally put the little government lawyers in their place. There was one government official who was the one of their chief gun expert that testified, and the attorney for Wayne Fincher asked him about what he knew about the Second Amendment. He didn't know what. Here's a government official. He didn't know what the Second Amendment was. It again is the right to have arms, and that doesn't mean the two that you put your arm in your shirt sleeves. That means something to defend yourself with. All right, I want you to write to Judge Jim Hendren, and his address is Federal Courthouse, 35 East Mountain Street, Fayetteville, Arkansas 72701, and tell him you are deeply concerned about the fact that a Christian man was tried in his court and not allowed his constitutional right to witness to a jury. Well, there's a lot more that can be said, and I'm sure we'll say it as we go along, but I want to read right now. It may well be that the Lord has Wayne in prison for a reason, because he had Paul in prison for some reason, chained to guards. I think today that there will be, or I think that when I get to heaven, I'll meet some Roman guards that'll shake my hand and say, I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad the Lord brought you here. He brought me here many years ago because an old fellow by the name of Paul was chained to me, and he witnessed to me in prison. That may be well the case here. But let me just read this letter from the cellmate of Wayne Fincher. And here's what he says. My eyes are getting bad, and the print's very small, but I'll try to read it for you. And this was written to my friend Johnny Tittle, who has a morning show here. By the way, if you're in listening range anywhere of the station KOFC here in Fayetteville, that's 1250 on your dial. Tune in at 7:30 a.m. until That's 7:30 until 9:30, two full hours, and you'll hear the program called Insight. And if you want Johnny's email address, it's insightam.com. And you'll find this letter there if you want a copy of it. Here's what he said. Dear Mr. Tittle, Mr. Fincher, as you know, is ill. Probably heart or gallbladder problems. Wayne is my cellmate. I have been assigned by God to watch over him. Lead and protect him in this environment. This is a hostile place. You can imagine the anger, hurt, and other cognitive errors in this place. Fortunately for Wayne, I am well studied in the laws of this state and nation. By no means am I a house attorney, but I am and have represented myself previously. I write to you for the people. It's fair for people to know who Mr. Wayne Fincher is. This is a God-fearing man, a man proud of this country and what it stands for, a man whose heart is for the people of this state and for this country. Mr. Fincher quotes the likes of Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, John Quincy Adams, John Adams, George Bancroft, the famous historian who wrote a 10-volume set of the history of the United States from its beginning to the end, or to the ratification of the Constitution, Jacob Broom, a signer of the Constitution, and the list goes on and on. Mr. Fincher is in the toughest pod, that's a place in the prison, in the toughest pod of prisoners in Sebastian County Jail, Fort Smith, with about 50 inmates in this housing block. The men of all colors, races, and religious beliefs, atheists included, without failing to mention the schizophrenics and mental illness inmates. This pod holds felony prisoners, state and federal, the jail, prison, parole violators, and the roughest and toughest men in the jail. This is no exaggeration. I'll have you know this. The inmates here, whether they are black Crip gang members, gangster disciples, Bloods, you know, that's a gang, Mexican Mafia, Sereno Mexican gang members, Norteno Mexican gang members, Asian gang members, they have them just about all down there, I think. Let me turn the page and let's go to page 2. Aryan Nation skinheads or others, everybody, and that's in capital letters, from inmates to guards, corporals, lieutenants, captains, or commissary staff, all refer to Wayne as Mr. Fincher. Mr. Fincher gets the utmost respect and dignity, not to brag or boast of myself, but as his cellmate and friend, no one messes with Mr. Fincher. That goes for the guards, too, because I promise as God Almighty is my judge, I personally will protect Mr. Fincher to the death. This is the most inspiring man I have ever met. There's never been a man in my life who I have respected or loved like I do Mr. Fincher. This man has brought men to the knowledge of Christ, to the safe place where most of these lost drug-influenced men need. Mr. Fincher has taught us what a Christ-like love is. He is the easiest gentleman, gentlest man I have ever met. for a Christ-like love. He is, I've lost my place because the print's small and my eyes are bad. Mr. Fincher has taught me a Christ-like love. He is the easiest, gentlest man I've ever met. For his 370 pounds, 6'3", and bigger than most bears, he is the sweetest person you'll ever meet. Mr. Fincher is the epitome of a role model for all the men here. Never in my 24 years of doing time have I ever met a man who other inmates cherished. We all love who Mr. Fincher is. He is what the word Christian means, Christ-like. I am utterly amazed at the way blacks, whites, Mexicans, and Asians treat Mr. Fincher. He has been a blessing to every one of us. I am a state-raised 41-year-old man. I grew up in foster homes and was mentally, physically abused for the first 18 years of my life. I never had a mother or father. I would have paid whatever I had to just have a father like Mr. Fincher. I've learned that God is real. Mr. Fincher has been a missionary in this pit of hell. When I tell you I'd fight to the death for this man, I would. I am a pretty good-sized man myself at 6'1", 230 pounds, solid. Have been raised in reform schools, county jails, and prisons. I'm one half tough. God has blessed this place with Mr. Fincher's presence. In the last paragraph, I'm writing you because Mr. Fincher shares his mail with me. I don't get a lot of mail, so he, as my cellmate, shares all the letters he gets. And that's a lot from everywhere. You're the reason your radio show has people from all around the United States sending you mail. These people deserve to know the man of God that Mr. Fincher is. He is in the hospital right now. I'm watching his property. It's safe. But please pray for this wonderful man, this wonderful human being. Please send out a special prayer for him. And thanks to all his supporters. This gentleman's name is Eric Flore, F-L-O-R-E, apostrophe. Now, if you would please encourage Wayne. He happens to be one of those people that has fallen into this pit. And we feel like unreasonably so. I feel like that there would have been no way. If justice, according to the Constitution of the United States, and that's what he was trying to prove, is that you and I as citizens have rights under the Constitution. Let me just give you just a little bit of what's happening in our nation today. I wanted to give you a little bit more about how to witness to Jehovah's Witnesses, but I believe this probably is, and we may still have time to do that, but let me tell you what's happening in the United States, the good old United States that had a constitution one time in which people respected and were respected, in which people obeyed the law. Why? Because our founding fathers gave their lives and their fortunes to raise up a constitution that protected you and me. And it's taken straight from God's holy word. If you'll go back and look at a little history, you will find that the pastors on Sunday morning would preach their sermons, and then the men in the church, including the pastors, would tear the pages from the songbooks to stuff their muskets with, their guns with, so they could load them, if you recall how that was done. You put in some powder, and then you stuff a little a piece of paper in there, and then you put in some the bullet, and you stuff a little more paper in there, and you can fire the thing one time. Of course, we have some pretty fancy machinery now, and that's what Wayne Fincher was being tried for. He was trying to equip a group of people with the materials with which they could defend our nation. When we have people like the ones who killed 3,000 of our citizens, who flew into the trade towers, who flew into the Pentagon, our chief military building in the nation, and obviously tried to fly into the White House, but failed. Now, as these people come roving across our border down on the south side of the country, as we obviously have the activities going on right now that are going to destroy this nation that we love, and very little is being done about it. What do we have in Washington anyway? We have a bunch of people up there who are not interested in serving. We have a lot, maybe there are some, I don't know, but I know the bigger part of them are interested in one thing, and you do too. They're interested in getting enough funds together to be reelected. And that is in the time when Christ was on the earth. It was a little different because they had a dictatorship, and a Caesar did the selecting. He always selected people and put them under an obligation to serve him. But today, we established a Congress. We established a Constitution, a Senate, a government that was supposed to serve the people. And I'm telling you, if we get served like my brother Wayne Fincher got served, we've got big troubles. But all of us know, those of us who are born-again believers in Jesus Christ, realize that what has already happened, many, many teachers have been disciplined or discharged. Why? Because they had a copy of the Word of God, the Bible, on their desk. Many children have been disciplined and told not to come back to school until they got rid of the Bible that they had in their desk. That's sickening, folks. That is downright treachery of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what did we went and done? What did we do? Have something here from Family Research Council. If you have a computer, I wish you would go to Family Research Council. That's FRCPUB at FRC.org. And pull up their, get on their mailing list and begin getting these notices. This one, for example, tell your senators to vote for Senator Robert Bennett's amendment to S1. And here's what it is. The nominations of Supreme Court Justice John Roberts and Samuel Alito, the partial birth abortion ban, raising broadcast decency fines, the Unborn Victims of Violence Act. These are just a few of the issues we ask you to contact your legislators about. And you responded in such strong numbers, our combined efforts were successful. Now, the liberal leadership in the United States Senate seeks to silence groups like the Family Research Council from informing you on the issues included in the S1 Legislative Transparency and Accountability Act of 2007 is a provision that seeks to establish for the first time federal regulation of grassroots activity that is intended to encourage members of the public to communicate with members of the Congress about pending legislative matters, so-called grassroots lobbying. This is a move to stop us from informing you about the issues you find important. Well, that's what you do if you're rotten to the core and crooked, as much of many of our government officials are. If there's something going on that you don't like, you just put a stop to it. And you do your level best to keep it from continuing. Well, that is tragedy with a capital T. Also, what else have we had here? Here's an outrage. This gentleman says, an oath on the Quran. Where is the outrage? I haven't heard anybody speaking out against this. And here's what this gentleman says. I'm often not proud of my home state, Minnesota. It's a great place to live 7 months out of the year, but the other five, you hibernate or become a snowbird heading south for the winter. Nobody plans vacation trips to Minnesota in January because the wind chill can reach minus 40 degrees below zero. But the recent elections took the prize in Minnesota lunacy. Lunacy is the word. Listen, took the prize in Minnesota lunacy. On November the 7th, Minnesota became the first state to send a Muslim to Congress. Hey, folks, this is the nation, United States of America, that was founded on the very foundation and basis of God's Word, not what was put together by a bunch of crazy people who are anti-God, that is, anti-our God, or anti-Christ, and who kill Christians. Who kill from the time they're born. They're taught to kill Christians and Americans and Jews. All right. On November the 7th, Minnesota became the first state to send a Muslim to Congress. His name is Keith Ellison, a former Catholic who converted to Islam at age 19. While campaigning, he seldom mentioned his faith unless asked about it. Muslims around the world are celebrating. Even Al Jazeera, this is one of the terrorist groups, gave Ellison's victory front page space. Muslims rightly feel a new sense of acceptance in America after the horrors of 9/11 and the somewhat justified fears of Muslims that many Americans have of them. This goes on, and I'll be glad to send a copy of it to you, or you can get it simply by, give me a call, and I'll tell you how to get it on your computer, or you can write to me or call me, and I'll send a copy of it. Just ask for the matter about Ellison, E-L-L-I-S-O-N, and his Islamic background. Or just ask for the article about Ellison. And right now I'm going to give that a number, and that number is going to be 1127. 1127. Ask for that, and I'll be glad to send a copy to you. All right, here's where it all comes from. Same place that Israel has experienced down through the years. I'm going to give you some of that from Jeremiah. If you grab your Bibles and turn over to about the 13th chapter of Jeremiah, you'll see where this old boy went through some deep waters of this same nature. Now, about this amendment that we mentioned a minute ago by Justices John Roberts and Samuel Alito about the partial birth abortion ban. You need to write to your senator right away about that and tell them to get in touch with the people that are responsible for this. And it's called the Unborn Victims of Violence Act. They need to vote for that. Okay. Let's see what another little thing's going on in our world today. It's called Paulson to fight unreality at home over China. Today, Bloomberg reported that U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is headed for confrontation with a Democratic-controlled Congress over China trade. We warned of this yesterday in yesterday's financial intelligence and see serious problems ahead. Now listen to this paragraph. I wish I had time to do all of this, but I don't. The U.S. government now has the very tough job of explaining to the United States Congress and citizens that with some $700 billion, that's with a B, folks, in liquid dollar assets, that it could liquidate, China holds the Trump card in trade negotiations with America. Worse still, as we warned financial intelligence in November the 9th, 2006, China can now effectively dictate terms to the U.S. government and even exert undue influence over U.S. internal affairs, such as the Federal Reserve target interest rate. And it goes on. You need to know these things. You need to be informed. If you'll go to your computer and pull up Newsmax, NEWSMAX.com, Newsmax.com, and get them to send these reports to you, you can stay appraised of what goes on. I know there are many of you out there who say, well, Brother Jay, I'm too busy. I just don't have time to get on that computer or look at the newspaper and keep up with all these things that are going on. Anyway, nothing's happening. It's just going to be the same old thing tomorrow. Don't kid yourself, folks. It has already put our nation in the pit of hell itself, and it's headed more rapidly daily that way. We have sent very fine, what we thought, Christian, godly folks up to Washington to represent us, because we knew them at home as fine, godly Christian people who believed God's word, who represented the Lord regardless of what happened, regardless of who said what. And when they got to Washington, something happened. There's some kind of a disease going on in that place. And suddenly they are turned. They divorce their wives and start running with some of their office staff and marry them or live with them, sleep with them. And whatever goes on, it is a tragic shame what's going on in our government today and our people we've sent to Washington. I want to read one little thing to you here from my good friend over in Oklahoma City, Herman Reese. He is the director of the Christian Businessmen's Committee Group there. And this is another organization that I would encourage you men out there to join up and you ladies to help them. CBMC, Christian Businessmen's Committee. If you can't find where they are, call me and I'll locate them in your area for you and send that back to you. But would you listen to this? How do we convert? How do converts become Christ-like? Here's what Herman wrote. We must see Jesus as the master teacher from Colossians 2:3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The resource by which we receive wisdom and knowledge is from one resource, and that's His, God's Word. These little tiddlywink, nonsensical, satanic-inspired people like we have experienced the last few days in this courtroom who obviously did successfully put away one of our brethren in prison. Of course, they may have sent him right into one of the best mission fields in the world. It's going to be awful hard on his dear wife to go ahead and labor day in and day out to try to make a living. She's in bad health and working in a very miserable place here in this area. But anyway, God may have sent him there to witness. But this is what is happening. To whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, there is no other resource outside of the Lord Jesus Christ for wisdom, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you go back and look at Solomon's writings, what did he write? Get wisdom, get knowledge, get wisdom, get knowledge. When you get something that's worthwhile, not something that will vanish with the passing of time. He is the master of every area of life. Who is? The Lord Jesus Christ is, and he wants to teach us who we are and why we do what we do. I think people have fallen down so severely on the job at that point, we haven't found out just exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Know why? Didn't read the book. How many times have those of us who are students, and I'm as guilty as anybody, gone to class, maybe we forgot that we were having a test that day, so we didn't prepare. And boy, have we ever guessed through the answers on those things. How many times did we do something else? Maybe go to a theater. I don't attend the things myself because I don't want to support Hollywood. But how many times have we done things like that and it's taken up time that we could have been preparing for our Sunday morning lesson from the Bible or preparing to witness to our neighbors? Well, my friend Herman Reese goes on, my brother Herman Reese, we must learn that we are spiritual beings who will exist for eternity in God's great universe. There are some scriptures given from 2 Corinthians 5:17 and from Galatians 5:23 and 24. Listen to this. We must slowly learn from our Lord a new internal character, a new internal character. This character is also described over in Matthew 5:21-48. Christ will then begin to teach us to expect his involvement in the day-to-day activities of life. As we give our best, he will know the reality of God's eternal kind of life flowing through us moment by moment forever, and the effect of our efforts will be vastly greater than what could result from our isolated abilities alone. You'll find that in John 15:5 and Colossians 1:28-29. Finally, let me give you this. Yes, it is possible for us to look like Christ, to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said to do. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and live from the abundance of God's kingdom by allowing the Spirit and the action of Jesus to be the natural flow of our lives. That is in Romans. See, all of this is scripture. That's in Romans 13:14. We begin this process by trusting him to receive us as we are for salvation and trusting him to always be available and supreme over all that affects us. That you'll find in Romans 10:13 and also in Psalm 34:15 and 1 Peter 3:12. So you see, there's no limit to the number of scriptures that you'll find declaring the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ over our lives. Let me read something to you from Jeremiah. I hope you have your Bibles and have gotten there by now. And looking at the 13th chapter, here is what happened. This is a symbol. It's called the symbol of the linen sash. Many years I would read through this, and prior to getting a little education, I wondered what in the world it meant. But I'm going to back up to the 12th chapter and begin with the 14th verse. Thus says the Lord, and when you see that, you better find out what it says. Here's what he said. Against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the houses, pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Then it shall be, after I have plucked them out, that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, every one to his heritage and every one to his land. And it shall be, if they will learn carefully the ways of my people, to swear by my name, as the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal. Of course, that was a Baal god. Then they shall be established in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, listen in the 17th verse, if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. How many times can you count from God's word that Israel has literally been practically destroyed? The people dispersed. There's under the Babylonian control of Nebuchadnezzar. There's under the Assyrian control of Sennacherib, or Sennacherib, if you may want to pronounce it that way. There's under the Caesarian control, under Caesar's, the Roman control, and on and on. And only until 1948, in our time, most of you were living then, 1948, did we see the working hand of God bringing these people back into their own land and declaring Israel a nation. Well, chapter 13 goes on to talk about something else. It's the symbol of the linen sash. And what he's talking about is what's going to happen to Israel. He said, thus says the Lord God to me, go and get yourself a linen sash and put it around your waist, but do not put it in water. So I got a sash according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, take the sash that you acquired, which is around your waist, and arise and go to the Euphrates and hide it there in a hole in the rock. So I went and hid it in the Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. Now you might want to know, or perhaps you don't know, if you look at your map, the round trip from where Jeremiah was to the place that we're very concerned about today, Babylon, up where the Euphrates River is, the round trip's about 1,000 miles. And I tell you, folks, there were no 747s in that day to get on. Well, he goes on in verse 6 and says, now it came to pass, after many days, that the Lord said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates, take from there the sash which I commanded you to hide there. Then I went to the Euphrates and dug, and I took the sash from the place where I had hidden it, and there was the sash ruined. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who follow the dictates of their hearts and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be just like this sash, which is profitable for nothing. For as the sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, same thing, to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory. But they would not hear. Folks, I've been in a courtroom for 4 days listening to people talk who will not hear what God's word says, who will not hear what our Constitution, founded, written by godly men who took their go word from this word of God. You want to know what this means about this linen sash? I wondered about that for years. First of all, back in chapter 12, he talks about the evil neighbors. Well, boy, they're surrounded by evil neighbors today, the Muslims all around them. And then about the linen sash, it's one of several signs, by the way, that Jeremiah enacted to illustrate God's message. It involved putting a linen sash, generally the inner garment around the skin, around the waist. This depicted Israel's very close intimacy with God in the covenant so that they could glorify Him. He said, don't put it in water. Now, why would he say that? This signified the moral filth of the nation. And that's where we are today in the United States of America. We're in the midst of moral filth, buried and allowed time to rot. The sash pictured Israel as useless to God to sin, due to sin. Hiding it by the Euphrates pointed to the land of Babylon, where God would exile Israel to deal with her pride. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? It's a sick world that we live in, folks. Going to give you one more round at something you can do, if you will just do it, and contact as many people as you will. Just say a travesty has happened in Fayetteville, Arkansas. One of our Christian brothers who was trying to save the Constitution of the United States, who was trying to initiate a system where godly people could help in controlling politicians and keeping them from doing things that are illegal and unlawful. Write to Brother Hollis Wayne Fincher. Hollis Wayne Fincher, F-I-N-C-H-E-R, in care of Sebastian County Jail, 801 South A Street, A as in apple, Fort Smith, Arkansas, 72901. And please write to Judge Jim Hendren. Would you do that? Judge Jim Hendren, in care of the federal courthouse at 35 Mountain Street, Fayetteville, Arkansas. Would you do that, folks? And let's see if we can't get something turned around here. Just tell the judge, I think of him as a good man. Have always thought of him as a good man. But he ignored the Constitution today. He did not permit a man who needed, who's trying to help, he did not permit him to present his case before a jury. Isn't it wonderful that you and I have the wonderful, wonderful, the inexorably unexplainable privilege of giving our testimony before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will not turn us away. He'll hear us. That's a promise. And it has proven over and over and over again that He is the living way. He is the only way. Please, folks, take action. Do something that will be of profit in helping this man of God get back to where he can do what he needs to be doing. Well, that's quite obviously all the time that we have tonight. And I pray that you will be very, very serious about getting busy about praying for our nation. Pray for this broadcast. The first thing you know, these same people will be knocking on my door and say, hey, listen, you violated the hate crime. You've talked about homosexuals. We are hoping that our signal is going across into Canada where they're doing that in this day and hour. Pray for us. If you care to help finance the program here, we certainly would like to receive your gifts. I pray that you will pray for me and my health, that it will hold out, and that Christ Jesus will be praised in everything that I say and that I do. Well, remember our song, Christ Jesus, I've promised to love you till I die. He's promised to love us until we die and then take us home. He's our joy and song if we love Him. He's the one that does it all, folks. He's the one that wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Why don't you turn to John 6, verse 65, and read it again and again. In the meantime, give praise to God. Pray for us. We need your prayer. In the meantime, call me. My phone number is 479-443-2135. May the Lord bless. We will see you the next time, if our Lord permits. Bye-bye.
My faithful friend and guide, for thou to me art dearer than all on earth beside. O Jesus, my Redeemer, my song shall be of thee. No other friend so constant, no friend so dear to me.